Good morning. As we begin our time together this morning, I want to express again the appreciation for the opportunity to stand before you and to share a portion of God's Word. And whenever Tom is away, I'm asked to fill in. I count it as a privilege and a responsibility that I never take lightly. And I certainly do not stand here before you as someone who has all the answers. But I simply, as a Christian who has been blessed by God's grace and desires to encourage others through His Word. And every opportunity to study the Scriptures, to reflect on their meaning, and share them with you is a blessing for which I truly am thankful. So my prayer today is that our attention will be focused on God, that His Word will speak powerfully to our hearts, and that each of us will leave with a deeper faith and a greater appreciation for His goodness and a renewed determination to walk faithfully with Him. The title for this lesson is Let Us Know the Lord, taken from our text passage of Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. So turn to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3 and read with me. As it says, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. This morning's lesson continues a thought we began considering this past Wednesday evening in my lesson entitled, No God, No Peace. No God and No Peace. And the thought behind that lesson was simple, but powerful. When God is absent from our lives, peace will always be missing. But when we truly know God, not just know about Him, but know Him, there is a peace that anchors our soul. This morning I want to continue that thought. Because the question is not only, do I have peace, but am I truly pressing on to know the God who gives peace? You see, many people desire the blessings of God without pursuing deeper relationship with God Himself. We want peace in our homes, peace in our hearts, and peace in our future. Yet biblical peace is not merely the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God in the midst of trouble. The peace that Scripture speaks of is rooted in knowing God. The more we know Him, the more we trust Him and walk with Him, the more our hearts are anchored when life's storms arise. And that is why Hosea's words are so important. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. Notice the prophet does not simply say, know about the Lord. There is effort involved. There is pursuit involved. There is growth involved. And many people are content with a casual knowledge of God. But Hosea calls us to something deeper. He calls us to be in continual pursuit, a daily determination to grow in faith, in understanding, in obedience and love. The Christian life was never intended to be a one-time decision followed by spiritual stagnation. It is a lifelong journey of drawing nearer to God. The Apostle Paul expressed that same desire in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, when he said, that I may know Him. This was written by a mature Christian, an apostle, a faithful servant of Christ. Yet even Paul recognized there was still more to learn, more to experience, and more to understand about the Lord. Friends, if Paul needed to keep pressing forward, surely we do as well. Because the more we know God, the more we trust His promises. The more we understand His character, the more we can understand and appreciate His grace, the more we love His will and peace that we find in His presence. And that brings us to our theme this morning. What does it mean to truly know the Lord? And how do we continue pressing forward in that pursuit every day of our lives? Our text passage we started with this morning comes from the book of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet sent to the northern kingdom of Israel during a time of deep spiritual unfaithfulness. The people had turned from God. They still had religion, but their hearts were far from Him. They still offered sacrifices, but they lacked mercy. And they still had outward forms, but they had lost inward devotion. And Hosea's own life became a living sermon. God told Hosea to marry Gomer, a woman who was a harlot and would be unfaithful to him. That painful marriage became a picture of Israel's relationship with God. Israel had been loved by God, was blessed by God, protected by God, and was provided for by God. And yet, they wandered after other gods. But here is this beauty of Hosea. Even though the book contains warnings and judgment, it also contains mercy. God is not simply saying, "You failed me." He is saying, "Return to me." And Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, we hear this beautiful call. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. That is the heart of our lesson this morning. Our goal is not merely to practice religion out of habit, nor to settle for shallow, surface-level faith. It is not enough to simply know Bible stories or memorize verses or possess knowledge about God. The call of Scripture is far greater than that. God desires a personal, growing relationship with Him, a faith that seeks Him, that trusts Him, that obey Him, and continually grows deeper. So the challenge before us this morning is simple. Do we truly know the Lord, and are we pressing on to know Him more? Walking with Him, trusting Him, seeking Him, pressing on toward Him. Because, friends, peace is not found by knowing less of God. Peace comes when we know Him more. So the call. Hosea says, let us know. Now that sounds simple, but it is deep. The Scripture, in Scripture, to know God is not merely to know facts about God. It is not simply being able to answer Bible questions. It is not just knowing God created the world, Jesus died on the cross, the church began in Acts chapter 2. Baptism is for the remission of sins. Those things matter. But Hosea is talking about something deeper. He is talking about covenant knowledge, personal knowledge, relational knowledge, a life that is connected to God. In the Hebrew language, the word often translated know carries the idea of closeness or intimacy and relationship. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Adam knew Eve, his wife. That was not casual information. That was closeness. That was relationship. So when Hosea says, let us know the Lord, he is calling Israel back to a real relationship with God. Not just in ceremonies, not just in the sacrifices, and not just in religious habits. but the heart. That is why Hosea in chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." God was not saying sacrifices were meaningless under the law. He was saying, "I do not want your offering if I do not have your heart." Because it is possible to go through religious motions and still not truly know the Lord. Is it possible to attend worship, to sing hymns, to hear sermons, to carry a Bible, and to say the right words, and still keep God at a distance? Yes. Yes, it is. That was Israel's problem. They had religion without relationship, sacrifice without surrender, worship without faithfulness. So friends, we need to be careful, because the same thing can happen to us. We can know the schedule of services, but not know the heart of God. We can know the Bible verses, but not let the verses shape us. And we can know what is right, but not love what is right. We can know about God and still not walk closely with God. So Hosea says, let us know. That is where the improvements begin. Not with pointing fingers and not with blaming everyone else, but with a personal decision, Lord, I want to know you more. Let us press on to know the Lord. Hosea does not stop with let us know. He says, let us press on to know the Lord. That phrase does matter. Press on means there is movement. There is effort. There is persistence. There is intentional pursuit. Knowing God is not accidental. Nobody drifts into spiritual depth. Nobody accidentally becomes faithful. Nobody stumbles into maturity while neglecting prayer, neglecting scripture, or worship, or repentance, and obedience. To know the Lord, we must press on. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Think about that. Paul was already an apostle, already preaching the word of God, already suffering for Christ, already writing scripture by inspiration. And yet he still said that I may know him. Paul had not arrived. He was still pressing. Because he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. That is the spirit Hosea is calling for us. Not, I know enough. Not, I have done enough. Not, I have been a Christian a long time. But it's this: Lord, draw me nearer. That is the heart we need. A heart that says, I want to know God more deeply. I want to trust him more faithfully. I want to know and obey him more consistently. I want to love him. I want to serve him more faithfully. Friends, are we pressing on? Or have we settled? Have we become content with shallow Christianity? Have we become comfortable with just enough religion to feel safe, but not enough surrender to be transformed? That is a serious question. Because God is not calling us to barely know him. He is calling us to press on. Knowing God brings peace. And this is where this lesson connects to my previous lesson from Wednesday evening. If you remember, it was, know God, no peace. know God and know peace. The world is searching for peace. People look for peace in money, success, material things, entertainment, relationships, approval. They want control. They want comfort. There's distraction. But without God, the soul remains restless. Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21. It says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Why is there no peace? Because peace is not merely a feeling. Peace is the result of being right with God. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is where real peace begins. Not peace around us, peace with God. And once we have peace with God, we can begin to experience the peace of God. Again, a passage I lean on a lot is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and verse 7, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That peace comes by knowing Him. The more we know God's character, the more we can rest in His care. The more we know God is faithful, I can trust Him. When I know God is merciful, I can return to Him. When I know God is holy, I reverence Him more. When I know God is just, I fear Him properly. When I know God is loving, I can draw near to Him. If there's no God, there's no peace. But if you know God, you know peace. Now, Hosea takes us one step further. "Let us press on to know the Lord." In other words, do not just stop at the doorway. Go deeper. There is a promise. Hosea says, "His going out is sure as the dawn." That's a pretty picture, if you've ever seen the dawn. Every morning the sun rises. It may be cloudy. It may be cold. It may be the night may have felt long. But the dawn comes. It comes quietly. It comes faithfully. It comes surely. And Hosea is saying God's faithfulness is like that. It's certain. It's reliable. It's unchanging. Turn with me to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jeremiah wrote those words during a season of sorrow and judgment. Jerusalem had fallen and the people were suffering. Yet even grief, in that grief, Jeremiah remembered that God's mercy had not disappeared. Every morning was proof that God had not given up on His people. Again, that is powerful, because sometimes we go through long nights. Nights where we have regret, we have fear, we have guilt, grief, maybe uncertainty, or even spiritual dryness. And we wonder, will God receive me? Will God still help me? Will God still hear me in prayer? Can I come back? Hosea says his going out is sure as the dawn. When we truly return to God, we are not returning to uncertainty. We are returning to a faithful God. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not change like shifting shadows. People change. Feelings change. Circumstances change. Our health changes. Money changes. Our plans change. But God remains faithful because the dawn is coming. And for the soul that returns to God, His mercy is sure. Hosea continues in our text, He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Rain was precious in the land of Israel. They depended on rain for crops, for harvest, for their food, and for their survival. Without that rain, the ground became dry. It was cracked. It was fruitless. It was barren. But when the rains came, life returned. The soil softened. The seed grew. The harvest became possible. So Hosea says God will come like that. Not merely to be seen, but to restore, to refresh, to revive, and to make faithful and fruitful again what had become dry. So friends, some hearts may become spiritually dry. Dry from the burden of sin. Maybe dry from neglect, discouragement, or worry. Maybe even disappointment. Or dry from going through the motions. In worship, we may still be present physically, but inwardly we feel empty. We may still sing the songs, but the words do not move us like they once did. We may still pray, but the prayers feel weak. We may listen to the sermons, but our heart feels dull. And when that happens, what do we need? We need the rain. We need God's refreshing presence through His Word. Because we read in Psalm 72 and verse 6, which says, He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, it says, For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. We see Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is the promise. God fills thirsty souls, but we must recognize our thirst. We must stop pretending we are fine when we are dry. We must stop acting like we are spiritually strong when we have been drifting. We must come to God and say, Lord, I need you. I need your word. I need your mercy. I need your correction. I need your strength. I need your rain. And Hosea says, He will come. Not maybe, not possibly, but He will come. So that being said, that brings us to the danger of shallow repentance. We really need to be honest with this context, where Hosea in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, because it sounds beautiful, but the verses that follow show there was a problem. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, God says, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. That means there's repentance, but it was often shallow. It's temporary. It was emotional for a moment, but not lasting. They would cry out when trouble came, but then drift again when comfort returned. That is a warning for us. There is a kind of repentance that only wants relief from consequences. But true repentance wants restoration with God. There is a difference between saying, "Lord, get me out of trouble," and saying, "Lord, change my heart." Israel often wanted God's help without God's rule. They wanted his blessings without his authority. They wanted his rescue without real surrender. And friends, we must examine ourselves. Do we seek God only when life hurts? Do we pray only when we are desperate? Do we repent only when consequences catch up to us? Do we want peace without obedience? Because real peace does not come from using God in emergencies. Real peace comes from knowing him daily. That is why Hosea says, "Let us press on." Not just to start, but press on. Continue to remain, to grow, and stay close. God desires mercy, not empty religion. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." This verse reveals God's heart. God was not impressed with rituals when the heart was corrupt. They brought offerings, but they lacked the mercy. They practiced religion, but they did not truly know God. Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13 when the Pharisees criticized him for eating with tax collectors and the sinners. Jesus said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Now see, the Pharisees were outwardly religious, but they lacked compassion. They knew rules, but they did not reflect the mercy of God. And Jesus used Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6 to show that God wants hearts shaped by mercy, not just religious appearances. That is a needed lesson. Knowing God should change how we treat people. If I knew God, and if I know God, I should become more merciful, more patient, more forgiving, more humble, more compassionate, and more concerned for lost souls. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." That's pretty direct. If knowing God does not make me more loving, then I need to ask whether am I truly knowing him as I should. A person can be doctrinally informed and still spiritually cold. A person can be right in an argument and wrong in spirit. A person can also defend the truth but fail to display the grace. But when we truly know the Lord, his heart begins to shape our heart. Pressing on requires seeking God first. We find in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 where it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Jesus was teaching his disciples not to be consumed with worry over food, over the clothing that they were wearing, and daily needs. God knows what we need. So our first priority must be his kingdom and his righteousness. Seeking God first means he is not an accessory to my life. He is the center of my life. He is not just a part of our Sunday. He is the Lord of every day of the week. Because He affects my decisions. He affects my speech, attitude, relationships, our work ethic, our priorities, our private thoughts, and our use of time. To press on to know the Lord means I ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not how little can I give and still feel spiritual, but how much of my heart can I surrender to you? That is the spirit of a discipleship. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That says daily, every day, not occasionally and not conveniently. It means daily. Knowing God means trusting Him in the night. The phrase sure as the dawn reminds us that there are seasons of darkness. The dawn only matters because night exists. There are times when faith is tested, times when prayers feel they're unanswered, times when grief is heavy and burdensome, times when we do not understand what God is doing. But knowing God gives us confidence in the dark. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That does not mean every sorrow disappears immediately. It means sorrow does not get the final word with God. Faith says, I may not see the dawn yet, but I know the God who brings it. Job said in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is not shallow faith. That is faith that knows God deeply enough to trust him even when life hurts. Friends, this is where many lose peace. Not because God failed, but because they only knew God casually. A shallow knowledge of God cannot carry us through deep suffering. But when we know Him, His character, His promises, His faithfulness, His mercy, then even the night, we can say the dawn is coming. Knowing God means obeying Him. We must also say this clearly. In Scripture, knowing God is tied to obedience. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. It says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's pretty strong language. But it is biblical clarity. We cannot claim to know God while refusing to obey God. Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love obeys. Faith obeys. A heart that knows God does not ask, do I have to? It asks, Lord, how can I please you? That is the difference between obligation and devotion. A servant may obey because he has to. A child of God obeys because he loves the Father. Knowing God through Jesus Christ. Ultimately, we know God through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." If we want to know the heart of God, look to Jesus. Look to him touching the leper. Look to him weeping at Lazarus' tomb. Him forgiving sinners. Him for correcting the proud. Look at him welcoming the broken and praying in Gethsemane. Look at him on the cross. At Calvary, we see God's holiness, God's justice, God's mercy, and God's love. God's desire to redeem. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is how much God wants us to know him. He did not wait for us to climb up to heaven. He sent his Son down to us. Practical applications. How do we press on? So how do we press on to know the Lord? We need to open his word with hunger. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Do not read scripture only to finish a chapter. Read it to know God. And ask yourself, what does this show me about God? What does this reveal about my heart? What must I change? What promise can I trust? What command must I obey? Also, we need to pray with honesty. Psalm 62 and verse 8 says, "Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." He wants sincere hearts. So tell him your fears. Tell him your weaknesses. He knows these, but tell him your guilt. Tell him your confusion, your gratitude, or your desire to grow. He'll help you. Also, worship with a heart engaged. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Not just truth without heart, and not just emotion without truth. Spirit and truth. Also, we must repent quickly. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Do not let sin sit. Do not let guilt harden. Do not delay in your returning. Also, we need to serve others with mercy. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "What does the Lord require you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Knowing God should make us useful in his kingdom. Also, a compassionate warning. Brethren, I say this with love. Do not settle for knowing about God while living far from God. Do not settle for Sunday familiarity without daily fellowship. And do not settle for a Bible in your hand but distance in your heart. Do not settle for religious routine without spiritual renewal. Israel had so much. They had history. They had his promises. They had prophets. They had sacrifices. They had warnings. They had opportunities. But they drifted. And again, Hosea's cry in our text still echoes. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. That is not just a verse. That is an invitation. That is God calling his people back. To conclude, friends, if the last lesson reminded us, no God, no peace. No God and no peace. Then this lesson calls us to go deeper. Let us know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. Not halfway, not casually, not occasionally, not only when life gets hard, but every day. Because his going out is sure as the dawn. When the night is long, he is faithful. When we wander, he calls us home. When we repent, he receives us. And when we seek him, he is not hiding. We find in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So the question this morning is simple. Are you pressing on to know the Lord? Or have you been standing still? Are you growing closer to God? Or are you drifting further from him? Are you seeking his face? Are you just maintaining appearances? In closing, may we never be satisfied with a shallow knowledge of God. May we never be content with simply knowing the right words, attending the right services, or going through the right motions while our hearts remain distant. May we be a people who truly know the Lord. A people who know his mercy, trust his faithfulness, and obey his word. A people who reflect his love. A people who press on even when life is hard. Because when we truly know God, we find peace that the world cannot give. We find strength that trials cannot destroy. We find mercy greater than our failures. We find hope as sure as the dawn. So this morning, if your heart has been dry, come to the one who comes like rain. If your soul has been restless, come to the one who gives peace. If you have wandered, come back to the one who still calls. And if you have never obeyed the gospel, come to Christ. Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Confess his name. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And live that faithful life. And if you are a child of God who has drifted, return. Press on. Know the Lord. Because there is no true peace without God. But when we know God, we know peace. If you are subject to the invitation, please come forward while together we stand and as we sing.